You've known now from the news last night that £55 million is becoming available for legacy inquests. It's interesting just how the main papers report this morning. On the front of the Irish News, £55 million released to fund legacy inquests, a straightforward headline, and it shows a picture of the aftermath of Loch Gall back in 1987, when a number of IRA men were killed and a passerby was also killed while driving through. On the other side of the score is the newsletter's headline, Fairness Plea as New Legacy Unit Revealed. And it is calling for fairness when it comes to the £55 million. I want to speak to some of the people who are directly involved in this and indeed have points to make with regards to this legacy announcement, including Dara Mackin, who's a solicitor from Phoenix Law. Dara, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Dara, as a professional solicitor, how do you view this announcement yesterday?
I think yesterday's announcement is obviously warmly welcomed by all of the families who are directly affected by the process. And whilst obviously we don't wish to cast a negative shadow over a very, very positive development, it must be remembered that it has been deeply frustrating that it's taken considerable litigation and a considerable period of time to get to what really should be the bottom line, a properly funded coronial process.
Now, you've very carefully followed the family of the innocent passerby, Anthony Hughes, who was shot dead at Loch Gall.
Yes, so we act for Mrs. Hughes and all of the Loch Gall families who were bereaved as a result of that incident. And as will be known, they were forced to take litigation 2 years ago now, to compel the release of this funding. The court made it clear in March last year, nearly a year ago, that the funding should be released in order to comply with those victims' human rights, common law, and the law of this jurisdiction, the law that you should have an inquest in a timely fashion.
Now, the criticism comes from the quarters that would see the victims of Loch Gall, including the IRA families, that they would be getting justice through this legacy fund, but victims of the IRA or victims of loyalist terrorists, they may not be as quick to get the answers that they're looking for.
Unfortunately, that criticism is ill-founded, and it's for this reason. The court made it clear in that judgment, the same judgment that has ordered the release of the funds, that you cannot take into consideration political views or otherwise when coming to determine the compliance with the law. All right. The reality is that it is the law. The law is clear that you must have a properly funded coronial process. We fully accept and in fact support unequivocally that there must be other mechanisms available in which to ensure that those families whose rights have been engaged can be discharged in a timely and expeditious way. But that's a separate argument for a separate day. The reality is that you cannot lose sight of the very issue here, and the very issue is, should the money be released to allow for inquest to process in an ordinary manner? The inquest, the coronial process, is part of the justice system. It's entirely unacceptable, and political or otherwise views cannot enter into the mix when you're asking the question, should part of the judicial process be properly funded?
And what do you see as the next step for the families that you represent and for other families who will be able to avail of this £55 million that was released yesterday?
I think it's been confirmed last night by the Lord Chief Justice's Office and their press statement that they intend on holding reviews before the summer recess, which is obviously a very positive development. It shows imminent and immediate action, which will ensure that these inquests can now commence after years of being opened, that we can now effectively begin the process in a way that is effective, it is efficient, and again, it complies with the law.
Okay, Dara Mackin from Phoenix Law, thank you very much for your time, Dara. Kenny Donaldson is representing a number of victims and people who have been affected by the troubles from Innocent Victims United, and Kenny's joining us on the programme as well. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Kenny, if you read one paper, you get a sense that, I suppose, they've arrived at a conclusion here and a decision has been made. If you read another paper, you get a sense that the destination they've arrived at is unfair to others. How do you view it?
Well, Frank, I suppose we've been very careful in the aftermath of this announcement to first recognise that there are very many innocents within the coronial inquest process who haven't had an Article 2 compliant investigation. And, of course, it was their right to pursue such. But it also needs to be recognised that over one-third of those cases in the queue relate to terrorists, people who were killed whilst in the midst of actions to murder their neighbour. That's the first point. The second thing is to say in this is that there are two states who have joint custodial responsibility for this place. And just as there are continually a barrage of criticisms of the UK state and its not upholding of Article 2, where are those cries for the Republic of Ireland state, both in terms of the murders that were committed in that jurisdiction, but also the 500-plus murders which were committed across our border corridors and which have a cross-border disposition? There is a marked silence in regards to that issue.
But do you support this particular allotting of money of 55 million, considering it was blocked some time ago by the DUP leader Arlene Foster?
I think, Frank, that what we've all said is that it's extremely dangerous in a situation where there is, in a sense, a state of paralysis around the past, that people turning on their TV screens last night will again ask themselves the question, what is there within this particular announcement for our families? And it does need to be understood that 60% of troubles-related deaths were murders committed by the Provisional IRA, 30% were carried out by loyalist terrorists, and 10% were the responsibility of the state, of which a subsection were actually found to have been criminal-related murder. In many cases, it was terrorists who were shot in the midst of their actions.
Do you accept that families who have long been waiting for answers will get them, and that has to be a good thing?
Well, I think we've all said, and I'm very, very nervous always about pitting victims against victims, because the reality is that if you have had your loved one who is innocent, whatever part of our community they come from or whatever political tribe they come from, the realities are you have an equal right and there's an onus on society to deliver that for you. But we need to be very, very mindful of the angers, frustrations and sense of injustice that exists out there within society at the moment. This decision last night, I'll make a prediction, Frank, you will see an upsurge in pressure over the next fortnight to 3 weeks, that with the powers that be to put pressure on people to push ahead with the Stormont House agreement process as it is, selling it as some form of counter to this, and that will bring resolution to victims of terrorism. The Stormont House agreement will not do that. Those structures are flawed. The Republic of Ireland state aren't even at the races with them. There's no redress for GB-based victims and survivors of murders committed over there. There is a big problem here, and people may want to continue to advance single constituency interests. We have an interest in the wider narrative of Northern Ireland and how we can bring progress to this place and finally deal with our past in a conclusive and ethical way.
You just say it as part of a political deal.
Well, Frank, I suppose what we need to ask ourselves as well is nothing in Northern Ireland happens in isolation. There was a judgment in the Supreme Court 24 hours ago in regards to the Pat Finucane case. We know the outcome of that particular issue, and I want to put on record again, we've done this before, Pat Finucane was murdered. It was entirely wrong and unjustified. But that ruling came 24 hours previous, and then we have this announcement. The timing of it came coming from nowhere once again. I mean, when are we going to start having openness and transparency around all of this? It could very, very feasibly be argued, a victim said this to me yesterday, and I think they're not far wrong. Since 1998, arguably there has been collusion between the British government and the Republican movement of a level that certainly did not exist in terms of pre-1998 because of the dirty deals that are being done, which people have no knowledge of.
Kenny Donaldson, I thank you for your input. You can hear the division already in this announcement. And again, as I said, it's highlighted whether you read the newsletter or the Irish News. Ken Funston, I want to speak to Ken on the programme as well. His brother Ronnie was murdered by the IRA back in 1984. Here's some points he'd wish to make about it. Ken, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Frank.
Ken, I presume you're going to be singing off Kenny's hymn sheet here?
Oh, well, yes, to a certain extent. I do concur with some of the things he said there, indeed.
And do you feel that families like yours, other families that suffered at the hands of the IRA, do you get the impression that if you suffered at the hands of the IRA or loyalist terrorists, that you're not going to get answers, but you will get answers if you suffered at the hands of the British state?
It's not so much if you suffer at the hands of the British state. If you make an allegation against the British state, then obviously potentially you will get a better level of investigation or inquiry. And that's what it's all about, is agitate and make allegations, and potentially then you can move things forward. But even then, Article 2 inquests don't guarantee anything.
Having said that, however, people will want to get to the bottom of what exactly happened and how people died who maybe didn't need to die. There's been a very strong argument, for example, if we use the picture that's on the front of the Irish News, regardless of what the IRA were doing that day in Loughgall, it's more or less accepted that they didn't need to die that day, and especially Mr. Hughes, innocently driving past, didn't need to die if different action had been taken by the security forces?
It's more or less decided that's what happened. I mean, I think from what I can understand, Frank, is that the IRA arrived at the front of Loughgall Police Station with a bomb, an arm to the teeth. They weren't out to buy the Sunday papers. They opened fire and set the bomb off. So do you walk out onto the street and say, please stop what you're doing? Or do you take action to save life, which is incumbent upon the British state or any other state under Article 2, is to save life. And that's what the SAS did that day. And this is getting away from the fact that, you know...
But Ken, is that not what the Legacy Inquest will really get to the bottom of? What happened that day and on other days, in other places, at other times, with other participants?
Yeah, but Frank, you're peddling this argument that in some way the British state were to blame for Loughgall when it hasn't even happened yet. The reality is these were terrorists out to take life in the same way they took my brother's life. But no one's questioning the terrorist organisations for their actions. They're walking away from this scot-free. I mean, this is dividing society even further.
Ken, I need to stop you there when you say they're walking away from it scot-free. They're dead. They're lying dead on the road at Loughgall.
No, Frank, you're picking me up wrong. I am saying the actions of the terrorist organisations, per se, across the board. They are now being ignored. I mean, I think out of these inquests... out of all these inquests that are coming forward for an Article 2 inquest over the next 5 years, there maybe is two or three were the actions of the IRA. The rest are loyalists and the security services, the state forces. So who is demanding that terrorist organisations are brought forward for what they did? No one's questioning their actions. If what they've done is finished with. Now we've got to challenge the state. I mean, who's challenging the Irish government over the murder of my brother? Who's challenging... Why am I not going to get an Article 2 inquest into the murder of my brother?
And just explain to me, Ken, what exactly you would like on behalf of your brother, because your voice is very important in this. What are you calling for?
Right, Frank, I'll give you an idea. This is what I was entitled to. My brother's a civilian working on the farm on the border. The IRA crept up in the dead of night, and when he was feeding his cattle on the tractor, they shot him in the back. My mother was witness to that and saw them running away, cheering their actions. Post that, less than 2 months after his murder, my mother had to get a bus to Enniskillen for a short one-hour inquest in Enniskillen Court. The investigation hadn't even got to any level of where they were in relation to what happened. But 6 to 8 weeks later, we got an inquest, an hour in an open court. But you're telling me that these people are entitled to a much better level of investigation or inquiry than we are and many, many other hundreds and thousands of people. So this is what's causing the problem. Why are we less important than others?
Well, obviously, obviously, Ken, it's not me that's saying that your group would be less important than any other group.
I'm simply
facilitating the debate here this morning because 55 million has been released to fund legacy inquests, and you feel that victims of the IRA, victims of loyalist terrorists, are not getting a fair share of this.
They're not getting any share at all. That's the reality. But I mean, it's I almost see it as a sop to republicanism, some of these inquiries. I mean, I find it hard to believe that we're going to go through another Loughgall inquest. There's been a Loughgall inquest. Well, why is it a requirement, I mean, to have another case to look into, which will come out with no doubt the same conclusion, that the state had no other choice but to take life in this case? You know, there are innocents within these, and they're entitled. Don't get me wrong, they are entitled to an Article 2 inquest. Of course they are. But what the state is really saying is, I'm not. That's the reality. And this essay is further dividing society.
Ken, I really appreciate your time this morning. Ken Funkson, who lost his brother back in 1984. And when you hear stories about money being released for legacy and you get the impression that, my goodness, moves are being made and progress is underway, you then listen to the full story and you realise that legacy and the whole issue of legacy is incredibly divisive. 0289033105. If you're just joining us, good morning. Good morning to you if you've just switched on the radio. This is the U105 phone-in. Philip has a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Philip.
Hiya, Frank.
Yes, Philip, what's on your mind?
Frank, just in relation to your last caller there, he made a very, very important point, but I think he's asking the wrong people. He said, who is pushing for inquiries into, you know, his brother's death or any of the other deaths, say, from a unionist background? Why are the elected representatives of unionism, i.e. the DUP and the UUP, it's they that should be pushing these, you know, and that's simply not happening. So you cannot blame a political party, because I can tell you from personal experience, because my family is actually one of the families who these legacy inquests that, you know, that we're waiting on, okay? And I can tell you this for a fact, and I would say it's the same for 90% of them. The police or the security services never came to our family and said, look, we've got new evidence about this murder. Unfortunately, we had to, over the years, do this ourselves. And then, when you get enough evidence, you then go and you present it to the police, and then they are legally bound that they have to investigate it. Don't have people out there thinking for a second that these inquests are the result of the police or MI5 or Special Branch or anybody wanting to do this for people to make things better for them. The simple fact of it is they're doing it because they are legally bound. They're being made to do it, Frank, and that's the bottom line of it. But again, to your last caller, what I would say, go and speak to your DUP representatives, your UUP. Ask them, why are they not championing these murders that these people are all talking about? And what he said is right. Everybody should get a proper inquest into the death of someone that died in the Troubles. That sadly hasn't happened. Another thing is, the evidence is already there for all these cases, as I've said to you, mostly brought by the families themselves, okay? Sadly, there are hundreds, probably thousands of people that died where there simply is no evidence of those people being killed. And that's a travesty as well. But that's also a fact. So, you know, you can't, this narrative can't go on that the police, the government, whoever else are doing this because they want to do it. They don't, Frank. They have been forced into doing this by investigations carried out largely by the family members of the victims who died.
Philip, thank you for your commentary on it. Obviously, the DUP would argue, as Sir Geoffrey Donaldson was arguing recently, that these legacy issues must be dealt with in a balanced and proportionate way. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson stressing that 90% of the Troubles deaths were at the hands of terrorists, and insisted that legacy issues, as I say, must be dealt with in a balanced and proportionate way. It's interesting, just a little figure, that the newsletter they carried out back in 2017, an investigation into the queue of deaths in the inquest queue, the number of deaths in the inquest queue, 51 of the dead were known or thought to have been killed by the security forces. 51 of the dead who are awaiting inquest in that queue killed by the security forces, 25 killed by loyalists, and in that queue just 17 killed by the Republicans. Of course, the newsletter are arguing that that doesn't reflect the way people died during the Troubles. 0289033105. Good morning to you.